Warren Buffett making a big energy play. For Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler, and for David Brancaccio. Lots of energy news over the weekend. Berkshire Hathaway Energy, that's part of Warren Buffett's famous company, announced that it's going to acquire Dominion Energy's natural gas transmission and storage business. The deal is valued at close to $10 billion. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams is here to walk us through the deal. Kimberly, good morning.
Good morning, Andy.
So, Kimberly, give me the numbers on this deal. What's going on?
So Berkshire Hathaway is picking up about 7,700 miles worth of natural gas transmission pipelines, Dominion's large natural gas storage facilities, plus part ownership of an LNG export facility. That's liquefied natural gas. But a big chunk of this $9.7 billion deal is actually Berkshire taking over debt, almost $6 billion worth of Dominion's debt. And Dominion says now it's planning to focus more on its state-regulated utility businesses. And in that sector, they've been making a really big push towards renewable energy.
And this wasn't the only big news coming from Dominion Energy this week, right?
Right. Dominion and Duke Energy announced that they're giving up on the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. That was an $8 billion project that was supposed to run a natural gas pipeline along the East Coast. But like many of these pipeline projects, it was running into a lot of legal and environmental challenges. In a joint statement, the company said that those delays and other cost uncertainties threatened the economic viability of the project.
Pipeline, something we talk about here in Texas all the time, and we're going to be talking about for years. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, thank you so much.
No problem.
Today, the world-famous Louvre Museum in Paris is the latest to throw open its doors again after months of being locked down. The BBC's Paris correspondent Lucy Williamson explains what it's going to be like inside.
The Louvre will look and feel very different. One-way systems will map routes through the museum. Entry will be by specific time slots, and everyone over the age of 11 will need to wear a mask. Most of the galleries will be open, including tourist favourites like the Venus de Milo, the Mona Lisa, and the French crown jewels. Spaced queuing for the Mona Lisa will mean each visitor gets the chance to stand in front of the painting for a moment. The Louvre usually welcomes 10 million visitors a year, the vast majority of them from outside France. The museum's president, Jean-Luc Martinez, told one newspaper that if Europe did not open its borders to the rest of the world this summer, he expected numbers to drop by 80% this year.
That was Lucy Williamson with our editorial partner, the BBC. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 1.5% range, with the Dow future up more than 350 points.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
For years, researchers have been working to find financial tools to curb bad behavior. We often refer to these as sin taxes, like what you see on cigarettes and sugary drinks in some cities in the U.S. Well, the Farm Animal Investment Risk and Return Initiative, or FAIR, is out with a new study that's warning the investors that a tax on red meat is imminent. Here to discuss the findings is Marco Springman. He's a researcher at the University of Oxford. Marco, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Do we have a sense of the sort of momentum for this sort of thing? Is it specific to European countries?
Yeah, specifically in Europe, the discussion is gaining momentum. There has been saturated fats at some point in Denmark, which was basically like a meat tax. Fortunately, that had been abolished after a short while because the information campaign was really not very well thought out, one could say. But that was a couple of years ago. And I think the experience of the sugar taxes and levies around the world, public health groups have really learned how to really communicate clearly that it's about the health of populations.
But you're right, so much of this is sort of about the marketing or about the messaging of exactly what the tax would be trying to do. I think you're right, the sugary drinks tax here in the United States raised a lot of eyebrows, but at the same time made a whole lot of sense. I think if the messaging makes sense to the general public, that's sort of where you win, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think the important thing to keep in mind there is really not to take stuff away from consumers, but to provide that clear signal of, okay, if you want to consume this product, then please pay for the full costs that otherwise are basically put on society without that direct link, right? I mean, everybody has to pay for climate damages, and many people in the States have to pay privately for healthcare. So it would make much more sense if they saw those costs in the prices of foods that are really related to those impacts.
It would also be a heavy burden for those meat producers, right? Would meat companies just have to bow out?
Well, in our model, we sort of have a direct link between consumption and production. So we would see a reduction in production as well. But here it's always important that if you design this policy well, then it shouldn't be to the detriment necessary of producers. The good thing with a tax instrument is that you actually raise revenues, and those revenues you can use to, for example, provide those incentives and help livestock producers diversify their portfolio, and also for running information campaigns for consumers.
But at the same time, that diminished production would in fact lead to less emissions, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct. So in all countries where we see a reduction and a substitution of animal source foods, we also find a reduction in emissions. And that is indeed very important, as recent reports have highlighted, the food-related emissions account for up to a third of all greenhouse gas emissions. So they are a major driver of climate change.
Marcus Brinkman is a researcher at the University of Oxford and lead author of Health-Motivated Taxes on Red and Processed Meat. Marco, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. My pleasure.
In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.